Let's go.
Welcome to the Safety Third Podcast, a special edition where Kevin is invisible.
Yeah.
Isn't Kevin, that right, Kevin?
Can you tell us about how you're invisible right now?
Oh, I guess because he's invisible, he can't make sounds either.
Oh, his sounds are invisible too. Whoa. But look, Nigel's here. Nigel's back. Now everyone's happy.
Yay.
Do you realize that if none of us showed up except for Nigel, everyone would actually be okay with it?
Yes. You know, the problem is it's got to be Nigel with other people. But if there's no Nigel, then it falls apart.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Nigel by himself is boring. Nigel with us is great.
Hey, we talking. How do you know I'm boring?
Yeah, we've never actually tried a Nigel only podcast.
Just me.
I don't think we gave it a try.
I don't know. Wait, Kevin, you ruined the illusion. You were supposed to be invisible.
We're 40 minutes late to the podcast, and now it looks like I'm the reason.
I had to deal with a tree trimmer.
Boo.
So I need to get some trees trimmed. So there's like 20 trees that need to be trimmed. Guess what the quote I got from the tree trimmer to trim 20 trees?
$20,000.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
$21,000.
What?
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Is that normal?
I thought I was memeing, but that sounds like
I think it's normal when you want to make a lot of money as a tree trimmer.
It's not normal to trim your trees. That's your neighbor's problem.
I was sitting there looking at the trees, and I was like, these really need to be trimmed. But also, that seems really expensive. And now I'm trying to figure out what's more expensive, a tree falling on a house or trimming the tree before it falls on the house.
I can trim the trees with the laser, I think.
I did think about doing it myself, but then I looked up at the trees and I was like, I probably shouldn't do this myself. Anyways, if there's anyone who's listening to this who's willing to cut down a couple of trees for like, I don't know, like maybe $500, hit me up.
Have you seen how they like, my neighbor just cut down like 21 giant pine trees. And have you seen how they do it? Like, number one, they have these awesome, like they have these boots that you wear and they have giant spikes in them and they can like climb up the tree. Then they like cut it down like, you know, 3 foot section at a time and it just falls down and they like,
well, yeah, if you hire Spider-Man to cut your tree down, of course it's going to cost $20,000, but I'll just take a guy or a girl.
Just a guy.
I don't need Spider-Man. You don't have to have any fancy boots.
You can buy those boots on Amazon. So if anybody wants to make like, you know,
$500.
I guarantee you Jake Laser has those boots. I'm sure he's got a box somewhere that has those boots in them.
How many DJI drones do we have to fly full speed into the trees to trim them?
How many drones can you get for $20,000?
Probably enough.
Yeah,
probably.
Nigel, are you looking at memes?
No,
are you looking?
I can just tell
boots?
That you're browsing emails.
Are
right
you
now.
Looking at boots?
I'm not on emails. I'm
you
on
watching
my Synology.
Porn?
Hey, well, why don't you guys look at this instead?
Whoa!
Yeah, trash cam.
How did you change the camera feed just now? How do you do that?
OBS.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, whoa!
Kevin's very skilled.
That's awesome.
You know, you should put a little TV in there so it could be us. And so you cut to a cam that's just us in a trash can.
Oh my God, that's genius.
Where we belong. It'd be like a Pepper's Ghost. We have like a mini version of us in a trash can.
I want to make a version of that for Nigel. Because if we start having more things happen around LA and Nigel's still in Canada, we need to have him have like a ghostly presence somehow.
In the
We can just get like a cardboard cutout and project him onto it.
Look how pale he is, though. He's basically already a ghostly presence.
This is what winter does to me.
You always look like this.
Yeah, but no. So what I'll say is it's in the summer.
Okay.
If you go, oh my God, I have a farmer's tan. My shoulder's so white. But then you realize that in the winter you don't
have
a farmer's tan.
All right, lift your sleeve up right now.
Look, you don't. I don't. I need
some. It's
the whiter.
Same color.
No, it is actually.
Oh,
whiter.
It is whiter. Holy God, Nigel, how are you whiter than me? I also have the pink light, which is.
I always thought that I just had the same.
Actually, Kevin probably should be the whitest.
How do you even have? How do I even have slightly darker armor?
Well,
I think Kevin is literally the whitest person here.
I don't know. It's maybe it's the lighting, but Nigel's skin is like porcelain.
I said Kevin should be.
Should be.
Yeah.
Okay. But Nigel, he looks like the sort of like the definition of beauty for like a Victorian woman.
Oh, like the geishas, the Japanese geishas.
It's just because my my lighting in my office
like,
is
fat and porcelain skin, right?
Yeah. I think Nigel, you would have a lot of male suitors 200 years ago.
Yeah,
he says I don't currently.
Just do the GoMad challenge for another couple months, and you'll have both attributes of beauty.
It took me, I think, like 12 years to recover from GoMad. So,
oh my God. Are you still in recovery?
No. It's only recently, like, I think it was like a couple,
back
2 years
on the
ago,
juice.
That I drank milk and my body didn't just reject it.
Can somebody listening to this podcast do me a favor and edit together just every time Nigel has like talked about a story and milk and whatever, and then put it into an hour long Nigel only podcast?
The,
I really want to see
Nigel GoMad supercut.
Yeah, I want to see what the Nigel only GoMad podcast for Safety Third would look like.
I'm on
like
the milk. I'm off the milk.
That.
I don't. Yeah. Milk doesn't. I don't.
How many gallons of milk do you think you've? Of GoMad milk, do you think you've drinking?
I think it's like German.
He used to drink, but he still does too.
Yeah, exactly. No, I actually don't drink milk anymore.
Okay, so I need to figure out how to cut these trees without spending $20,000, because that's ridiculous. Does anyone have any ideas? How do you cut down trees?
Can you burn them?
Less- That is a very
You're cutting
good idea.
Down trees or trimming them?
Trimming them. I don't know. What's the difference?
I have the solution, okay?
I have a solution too.
Okay, you go first.
Oh, have you ever seen how they cut the trees on the side of highways?
Oh,
with the
yes.
helicopter? With
yeah, the helicopter
strong.
And the giant
license.
Blade.
I found
That's
this-
what you need to do.
You remember the heavy equipment I posted that I found on Facebook Marketplace?
Yeah, you found something like that, right?
Yeah, the giant hydraulic
it was like a boom arm with like four
exactly.
saw blades on
it. It looked like a transformer arm.
That's
like
all
something
you
would have you'd seen a Michael Bay movie.
That, yeah. Well, there you go. You got it.
Well, the problem is that thing was $100,000.
Rent oh, Kevin's well. 50-foot lift thing he had and just hang chainsaws off it.
Well, okay, here's the thing. You could start your own tree trimming business and it'd only take 5 houses for you to break even.
That's true.
That's true.
Well, 5 houses that have 20 trees. That's quite a bit.
Yeah, but, you know.
All right, let's say you were the last person on Earth and you had to trim these trees. What would you do? Would you climb up them? Would you rent a lift, or would you steal a lift from a yard because there's nobody left on Earth?
I wouldn't do it
because you need insurance too, right?
Yeah, if there was no one else on Earth, I can't think of a reason why I'd have to trim
why
the trees.
Are you cutting the trees? Because
they're leaning over the house.
They've evolved millions of years.
They literally fall over all the time. They evolved in Australia,
Kevin,
and then they freaking brought them here.
Kevin, if
that house has been there for millions of years and they've adapted to its presence, they will never fall on the house.
Well, I'm saying a lot of people
My
trim trees because
the
they
wood.
Want them to be healthy and they want them to look good. Well,
I'm going to search
that
right now.
By themselves.
Eucalyptus is a crazier tree fall.
I keep oh, get koalas.
Over.
Get koalas to trim
They don't
your
eat
tree.
The tree. They eat the leaves.
You're right.
Yeah, but it'll make the branches less heavy.
Actually,
I guess they'll
be
heavier with koalas. So.
Yeah. And then they won't have any wind resistance when they crash through your roof.
Okay,
right.
I just looked up
right.
pictures of eucalyptus tree falling over, and every single picture is a eucalyptus tree falling over. So I know that this is a very biased search, but I feel like this does happen more than it should. Okay.
So you have 20 trees hanging over your house?
Yeah, I'm in a predicament right now because there's 20 trees that are either going to fall in my house or the neighbor's house, and a man gave me a quote for $21,000.
Huh. How many crash pads can you buy for $20,000 to put on the roof? That would
how,
also
how much will it? It's
problem.
Only $20,000 to fix a roof, so I say take your chances.
But the tree will go through the whole house, Kevin, not just the roof.
No, the roof should stop it.
Oh wait, airbags. Can you cover your roof like the shingles are like car airbags so that if it hits it, it will like protect the roof?
That's a really good
roof?
Idea too.
Here's my idea, and I'm bringing this up because I need to crowdsource some help. So there was like this scientific paper I read way back in the day about using lasers to cut down trees. They're like, oh, well, we can just put like these like pulsed ruby lasers like that the tanks use. This was the Army's idea. So like the tanks have a laser rangefinder on them. So what if we can make that more powerful and then just use it to like bup, 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 like cut through tree branches and like clear paths or something.
And they
something
just
like
what straight it just shoot it straight into the forest?
No, this was like a laser.
Like, where does the other end of the laser end up?
That's towards.
Alan, you're thinking about this the wrong way.
That's Germany's problem.
As long as we get done what we need to get done, whatever trail we leave behind us doesn't matter.
I mean, there was a guy on YouTube that made a laser lawnmower fairly recently.
What?
Also, I can't find this paper anymore. So if somebody has
it. Didn't work very well, but you know, it was a good pile of thumb.
You remember
So this brings me to my invention. It's a laser tree cutter downer. How do I say this? I feel vindicated in my hoarding right now because like 2 months ago I had this like belt, you know, that you would use for a 3D printer, like a stepper motor.
Yeah.
I had like 20 feet of this and like a big roll, and I'm like, I haven't touched this in 5 years, and I threw it away. And then today, like a couple weeks later, I'm like, I need this today, right now, and I don't have it, and I threw it away. So this is, you know, I should have
wait. How does that vindicate you though? I feel like
because I should have kept it.
Yeah. Should have kept it. I feel like the only way that works is if you throw stuff out. If you kept it, then there's like whatever would have happened would have caused you to not need it. You know what I mean? I think that's the only way it works.
It's part of God's plan. That's God's plan.
It's only going to rain if you don't bring your umbrella outside, you know?
But I feel like that's just how hoarders, why people hoard is they hold on to that one time that they
like they're still riding that high from that one time they need like the Q-tip that they've had in their drawer for 35 years.
All right, here I got a good one. A couple months ago when I was like trying to fix the embroidery machine, I was gonna get rid of the ceramic eyelets that the threads travel through because of the wear. You know, otherwise the threads over time will cut through steel. Apparently. I was going to replace them with like Teflon or something. So I made this whole like little clamping heated clamp setup where you would like take a little piece of Teflon, you would clamp it into the hole where the eyelet on the embroidery machine is, and it would like melt it in place. I ended up not doing it. I got like halfway through it, and then I realized that the threads will actually wear through the Teflon way faster than like everything else.
Really? Okay.
Like even though it's slippery, it's still abrasive, and so it will cut through it. And so I had bought two PID, or maybe it was one PID controller. So I had a temperature controller. I had thermocouples. I had a bunch of crap I had bought. And I was like, well, I guess that was a waste of money. And then just this week, I had to figure out how to heat the vat of my resin printer. So guess what I did? I used the temperature controller and the thermocouple from the previous thing. And so it was like, you know,
did you just like dip the thermocouple in the resin or something?
No, it's a big aluminum frame with the FEP, the whatever it is. Everything's Teflon that the film is on the bottom of the vat. And so I just heat the aluminum up. So I got that barrel heater. So I went on McMaster and I looked for heaters. Actually, why? If you've never used McMaster before, you should go to McMaster Car and check it out. It's very expensive. But you're not paying for stuff. You're paying for how insanely cataloged it is.
Oh, my God. I just searched for heaters. I love it.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I need a heater. But I don't really know what kind of heater. I just need something to like heat up either the chamber or the frame that the vat is in, the vat frame, blah, blah, blah. And so I type in heater, and then I stumble across, drum heater. It's this like adhesive strip of silicone that has like some sort of like ceramic filament in it. And you just adhere it to the side of a barrel, and it heats the barrel up for if you need something in a barrel to be warm.
So
I'm like, all right, cool. So I bought one of those, 30 inches long, 300 watts. And then I just taped
that. Like 120 volts?
120 volts. I taped it to the resin vat because it's a really big vat. It's a big resin printer. And then I used the temperature controller. And so it's like buying that and not using it and then not throwing it away. And I was able to make something like that day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And McMaster, they're always like next day or 2 day shipping too. Mm-hmm. So that's really nice.
I feel like there's a lot of confirmation bias. How many times?
Oh, look
have
who's
kept
talking! Of all the people here, you're number two on the hoarder. Maybe three.
I've been getting rid of so many things. I think that's why I'm kind of like trying to argue against right now because I've been actively working on getting rid of stuff.
Yeah, look, he's mad at himself and he's taking it out on us. He wishes he had all that old stuff.
That's why I threw away those ultrasonic misters.
I'm glad that
I regret it.
Alan's like, only if I had all this crap, I would be happy.
Had some stuff that was
useful.
To me
twice
I thought we were
today.
All going to keep talking over each other.
Yo, I'm let's do it. Yeah, you too, Nigel. You got
to
join the conversation.
The dumpster, so I had these ultrasonic misters that I've had for a while. And I'm like, oh my God, that'd be perfect to me.
It's not going to come in handy. The one time where you do it doesn't justify every other.
I threw those out like a month ago. I saved the power supplies. Why did I save the power supplies? I have a million 12-volt power supplies.
The one time that you get the use of.
What if you need like 14 power supplies for something?
Those come with power supplies.
What if you need more watts, but you don't want to get a bigger power supply.
No.
I'll just use one of my, like,
Nigel didn't participate at all. I saw you, Nigel.
I tried really hard to understand what was happening, and all I got were power supplies.
Do you know?
That's all I know.
Power supplies?
A couple years ago.
No, Kevin, don't show us your pile. He's got a pile.
Kevin, fix your door.
Holy shit, Kevin.
How many watts?
That's,
how
not
many,
bad.
How many watts? Okay. No, you don't think this is that bad?
For anyone listening via audio, Kevin right now has from his closet pulled out an entire box filled
power
with power
supplies.
Are they wall warts or are they like?
Yeah, they're all or they're all every single kind.
I want a 70 watt 13 volt AC power adapter.
Boom.
I have 10 volts. What uses
what
10
about,
volts? I don't know.
Why do you have that then?
Why
do you
not
have a benchtop power supply? That could
yeah,
just
but it can't put out 40
volts?
Amps.
It's a mess.
I just emptied my storage unit out. So when we moved out of the house in LA that Michael and I rented, it was sort of right at the beginning of the pandemic, and so I had nowhere to put any of my stuff. So I moved it all into a storage unit and didn't really clean any of it out, and that included a vending machine. You guys remember the vending machine that was dispensing beer and Red Bulls?
Yeah, I really like that vending machine.
So I just pulled everything out of storage and I have it now, and I feel like that vending machine is something that I want to set up again. And I don't regret buying it, and I don't regret keeping it.
Well, I think a vending machine is, it's kind of different, right? It's like, it would be a huge pain in your ass to get another one.
Yeah.
But I think for like,
where are you going to find a 12-volt power supply that plugs into the wall?
Almost everything else, you're like 2 days away from getting it off Amazon. A vending machine, I understand.
I mean, you're like a day away from getting it off Craigslist.
I think that like when it comes to keeping stuff, there's just a threshold that's worth it. Whereas like it's just the probability of how likely you're going to use it. Certain things are just past that threshold.
So here's my argument for keeping stuff. I think that here's my rule maybe. If you're going to keep a bunch of stuff like power supplies and you need them quickly, maybe you should organize them. Right? So it's like they're organized by voltage.
I would have 30 bins.
Well, but then it's like if you don't need 30 bins, then maybe you don't need all the power supplies. Does that make sense?
Though. It would be so nice to have like everything, like screws, right? Like all your random screws, they're kind of just like lumped in like the screw jar.
Like Kevin's saying this, like we all have the exact same screw
jar.
I have been working on this. I used to have a screw jar, and then I got a little drawer organizing bins for my like one of those like just Husky like.
And then I took
benches.
The bins and I took the screws and I threw them on the trash.
But you guys, you didn't buy one of those
sorted.
Little, like,
they are sorted
cabinet
now.
Things.
Well, are they just grouped in general by diameter, or like are you breaking
the
it down
loose
into
ones?
Length,
yeah. So
too.
I mean, for the loose screws, yeah. It's just basically it's like anything that's like a quarter inch larger, and then anything smaller than that, and then machine versus like wood screw. But then for anything that I still have new, like they're in their appropriate bins. It actually is fantastic.
Like, yeah, Michael Reeves had it all like down by diameter and length and everything. So that was way more organized than I thought.
I have been having a lot of fun organizing all my shit recently.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like a better person.
I'm gonna need to organize a lot of stuff. Yeah, I organized all my USB cables got organized at one point, so they're bagged by connector type, and that's super useful because it's like you should always keep your USB cables since they're bad. If they're bad, if you have a problem with the USB cable even once, cut the end off.
No. The trick is you put it back in the bin with all the other ones. And then every time you get it, you curse it and throw it back in the bin.
That's you take your aggression out by yeeating it into the bin, not cutting the tip off.
Actually, I might even show you guys. I'm so proud of it. Hold on. Let me see it. I've got a system.
Down with the system. He's always got the weirdest stuff on his TV. What is that? AI?
I think it's just... Oh, yeah. Okay. It's not
AI
anything.
Versus the law.
It's
just
YouTube.
This seems like a good opportunity to promote the new Safety Third merch. If you guys don't know, we went to Japan last year, and while in Japan, I made a T-shirt called Mr. Hambagas, and I drew it. I drew it on my iPad in Procreate, and here it is in t-shirt form.
Oh my god, it's so good.
Isn't that great? I'm actually really happy with how this came out. And it's actually, we did something new that I've never seen on Embroider except for like infants. It has a backing. So there's an ironed on backing, and so you can't feel the scratchiness that embroidery sometimes can have.
Did you ever explain the story behind the hamburger?
So, like, I don't actually, what's the story behind Mr. Hamburger? It was just the
that
only
was
word
Will's
that was English,
phrase,
right?
The entire trip of Japan.
Watashi wa
Mr. Hamburger.
It was a great icebreaker everywhere we went.
Yes, because we knew we were saying something because it's the same in English. I think ice cream is similar too, right?
Because it sounds Japanese.
They're loan so this, words. Oh, my God.
This is available on the Safety Third shop if you go to the link in the description
below. Do I have to buy one? Can you send me one?
No, we'll send you guys. We just got them, so we'll send them. Anyways, go to safetythird.shop and you can get the Dumpster Fire t-shirt, Mr. Hamburger t-shirt, dumpster pins, sticker packs, safety pins of a man getting ground up by gears. And
nice.
Support us and this Zoom call that we do every week. Today's podcast is sponsored by PayPal Honey. Honey is the number one shopping tool in America. Honey is genuinely one of the easiest and simplest ways to save money while you're shopping online, and it works for things that you're already buying on sites that you're already using. Once you have Honey, this little icon shows up in the corner of your browser, and when you're shopping, if Honey works with that site, it will automatically find and apply promo codes to save you money. We use Honey when buying the equipment for this podcast, and it made it super easy to save money without spending time looking for promo codes on sketchy websites. You can add Honey to your browser for free and support the podcast by going to joinhoney.com/safetythird. That's joinhoney.com/safetythird.
All right, you guys ready for this? This has
Let's
been like,
it. Come on.
This has been scratching parts of my brain I didn't even know I had. So basically,
what
I just
explain got, what are we looking at? Explain.
I got so many of these Harbor Freight organization bins.
Oh, okay.
And so I started doing this thing where I'm like, I'm not just organizing little parts, I'm like making them kind of like full functioning units. So like this that you're seeing here is like my prototype. I'm very proud of it. This is my electrical connecting briefcase, basically. So you see, it's not just parts. It's like
Legos.
You
got the fairing tool or the furring tool. Yeah.
And there's crimpers. Fairings in here also. There's the crimping tool and all the crimps. There's terminal blocks. There's wire nuts. There's Legos. There's even stuff for like holding wire against things, electrical tape. So it's like, it's not just parts. It's like everything I would need to use the parts.
It's like an MRE, but for electrical connections.
Yeah. So it's like, I know that like if I'm out in the garage and I like need to make a bunch of electrical connections, I just grab the one thing. Because before I had parts and I had tools and they were separate. But now I'm like, I'm trying to combine them by use. So I know like, okay, if I'm going to be using, like if I get something to crimp onto a wire, I'm going to need the thing that crimps and the thing to crimp on. And before I had them separate. That's not the way.
For context for the audio listeners, Alan is holding up a bin filled with electrical components and tools. All the things you need to take two wires and turn them into one wire.
Yeah, so this has been like, I don't know if like maybe the equivalent is like an old lady like doing puzzles. I've been having a lot of fun just like figuring out what to put in these bins that like thematically.
I think you're talking about an old lady doing opiates.
Actually, no, you know what it is? I just realized just now. This is what happens when I'm not building Magic the Gathering decks at Will's house. Is I start putting, like, it's literally the exact same concept. I'm like, oh, like this card synergizes with this card and these colors work well together.
This three
like
connector Wago nut. Well, wait, but no, we need the 10 gauge. No, we need the thicker Wagos. We'll synergize with the American twist wire nut.
We don't need the 5 Wago. We just need 2 3s, and that way we can bridge them to make if we need.
Well, guess what, buddy? I've got a thing for both. There's your twos, there's your threes, there's your fives.
You can build a computer with all those Legos.
Alan, what happens when you get a part that doesn't fit into your kit?
Oh, don't say
it.
I'll
figure it out. It's like
then he kills himself.
Yeah, that's the end. That's the end of the line for me. I'm in a perfect place of status or stasis. If this is everything I need, if I get one more thing that's useful, I'll die.
Then you have to get a whole new bin, but you don't have enough useful stuff to put in the other bin.
I think part of it might actually be that I hit kind of like a critical mass of stuff where it's like, if I didn't have enough stuff it wouldn't make sense to put it all in one bin. But I like finally got enough stuff where I was like, wait, all these go together.
Yeah.
So I've been having a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah, I need to do that. I kind of did it, and then you just accumulated more things.
Oh, you ruined the balance.
Yeah.
You got to just like reach a point of things that you have being enough and then never die. Get more things. Yeah. Get buried
it's
with them.
Circle
like
of life,
Pharaoh.
Yeah, you trying to tell me to not buy more stuff? There's literally only one thing that's going to stop me from buying stuff.
and then when you die, your wife goes to a ham fest or something, and she pawns it all off on
for a nickel.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Some kid gets a really nice set of tools,
and he throws them all away because they're all crap.
I mean, the thing is, the wire connecting bins, the one I've had the most luck with. I've been trying this with all sorts of things, and they haven't been as good. This one's like my baby. I don't know why. It just kind of worked.
I feel like having to organize all your parts is a very common problem. Why is there no system that... Why is everyone having to come up with their own system all the time?
Because it's different for everybody.
Yeah. It's called McMaster Car. Go walk into McMaster Car Warehouse, and you'll understand the problem with sorting a wide variety of indefinitely expanding objects.
That's my problem, because I try to organize like all the screws and bolts, and it got to the point where you just stock a certain amount, and then everything else you just throw
screw
away.
Screw jar, screw yeah.
No,
jar,
you just
screw
you
jar.
You like get Kevin. A handful of random pieces, and I just... Actually, I kind of have a... You just throw them out of sight, because you have no idea what to do
with
them. No,
there are times where the screw jar can come in really handy. Like, the screw jar has its place. I'm a big fan of the screw jar. I've just taken my screw jar and, like, separated out, like, into a little more order. But I think having screws you don't care about is nice. It's really nice.
I remember a long time ago, Kevin bought gas cylinders for office chairs off of Amazon because he wanted to do a video with it. And up until like last year, I had been holding on to them. So I've been holding on for like probably 3 years at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
went
got rid
through
of
the
my
garage
gas
cleaning it. Yeah,
what the hell?
Alan did. Alan threw them away.
I waited a year to reveal that to see if Will needed them in that year, and he didn't. He never noticed they were gone.
I think you told me about that last time I was over there.
Told a couple of people in like secret. I said, do not tell Will this, but I've thrown away those office chair air cylinders.
Yeah.
By the way, I was looking for this $10,000 cash I had laying around. Did you throw that one away too? Can I have that back? Okay.
No, you don't need it. You know, it's just taking up space. You don't need that.
I have to trim some trees. I really actually do need that. Apparently, I need two of those.
I've been trying, because I like have such a hard time throwing things away. Usually, I've been like actively trying to figure out how to like. I don't want to be like a minimalist, but I do want to like try and understand where the line is between like when things are worth keeping and not.
I really think that if you can't organize it, you shouldn't keep it. So like if you don't have some semblance of organization for the things that you have, you need to consider getting rid of them. So it either means you need to buckle down and organize it because you're going to use it frequently enough that you need to hoard it. And if you need to hoard it because you're going to use it, it should be organized. And if you can't bring yourself to do that, it means you don't actually need it that bad.
I was going to say, what you need to do, Alan, is think about showing it to somebody else, your collection, whatever it is. And if you feel shame, then you definitely need to get rid of it.
Well, the problem is, I don't think I'd ever feel fully ashamed.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying like...
I don't have enough of that to motivate
me. Yeah, I guess. It's just like...
Alan's shame saturated.
Yeah.
Actually, shaming him makes him horny, Nigel. He really
Alan. It's just
I'm Alan.
So
you've been a bad boy.
It's like Alan.
It can only make me more happy.
When I went to your place and we like whatever, we have to set up the air mattress. And be like, oh, sorry, it's a little messy here. If you say that, you're acknowledging it should be clean, right? If you say nothing, then I would think nothing. I'm like, oh, he's just a messy guy. But you're thinking I'm thinking that, and you're trying to counteract it, which means that in your head it's bad.
Okay, Nigel. Wait. I guess has anyone else been to Nigel's lab in person?
No, he hasn't invited us.
This is there's
no one
there's,
wants to come to Canada.
Let me explain something to you guys. Something else about because I know we've talked about the lasers, but something else about Nigel's lab is that he has.
They don't flush the toilet.
I mean, it flushes itself. There's like a robot.
That's not true.
I assume it flushes itself. I mean, it opens its mouth when you enter the room. It's kind of freaky. It like asks you for it. But it, Nigel has this mental Rain Man map of where things are stored in his lab. We did this. It was amazing. You go into this lab. It's got like endless drawers. You point at one just across the room. You say, Nigel, what is in that drawer? And he will tell you. And he was right, like 80% of the time. You missed like maybe one or two. And like it was like for fairy. You were like, oh, I just moved that one.
There's this thing at my house. So I call it the shadow realm.
Alan just has bad memory.
I know where everything is. Like my entire house in my head is like 1x1 foot cubes.
Yes.
Like I know where everything should be. And if it's not there, I call it having been shadow realmed because it means somebody moved it. And so it's like, it's not like there, it doesn't have a place. I just know where I normally put it or where I last put it.
It doesn't have a space. It has a space.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, when I come home, my wallet and knife, they go, I put them on the table in the living room, the coffee table. And if anyone ever moves them, I will run around the entire house like a chicken with my head cut off trying to find them.
So wait, can you all do that? Like just know where your things are?
Yeah.
I don't. While I was cleaning up the other day, I found 3 unopened packages of JB Weld in 3 different places.
That's amazing. You have three packages of JB Weld you can use in the future.
But so wait, Kevin, you know where just things, if I point to like a drawer in your garage somewhere, like you're going to tell me what's in it.
It's almost like if you ask me where something is, I know where it is. But if you just
he can't tell
me,
you, he can only move his body
here,
there.
I don't know what's here, but if you tell me you need something that's in there, I'll know where it is.
I called it like organized chaos, where it's a mess to anyone except me, where it's like I know where it is and I can get it every single time. The whole system falls apart if something gets moved, though. Like if I put it down somewhere or forget it, then it's a total meltdown.
I just have so much stuff that I need to have, like, an organization, or I will find nothing.
What would you do if you ever had to move?
I've moved multiple times.
But the collection grows every time.
Yeah, and that's why now it's like I have to start putting labels on things because...
And if your landlord has any idea the predicament you're in, he can absolutely ring you.
What do you mean?
Raising rent 50% every year.
We signed a lease so that they can't. But
for how long?
6 years.
Okay.
Oh,
it's long.
Your YouTube channel will be dead by then.
I know. It's always a joke because my mom works with me, and she every time
you don't want to say works for me.
I don't say anyone works for me because I don't like that.
Because then I have to pay them more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's just weird because it's not really. That's not like there's not a dynamic of like where anyone really does things for me like that. But my mom always makes jokes. Or she always, like, if my brother and I say something, she's always like, just remember, we got 5 more years.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, yeah.
Probably convert it to a daycare or something. I think you'll be fine.
Yeah. Just literally that don't move anything. Just start calling it a daycare.
It would always be like, have kids in there.
My brother and I will say something. Like, we'll be talking. I'm like, yeah, we can't make videos for, like, I got like 3 more years in me, and my mom will just like pop out of nowhere and be like, but the lease is 6. And we're like, oh no. Oh no.
I mean, you can probably leave before 6.
We put in a clause that like you have to pay to break it, but after 4 years, it's like pretty weak.
I think those clauses usually are for the tenant, because I don't think the landlord wants to get new people in because they can keep raising the rent.
It's what when we got this place, we had to go through what's it called? We had to talk to just a lawyer, I don't know what he's called, a lease lawyer who would go over the. It was a long lease, and I remember what he told me because I was like scared of all these clauses if you just break the lease, and his answer was like, "Oh, it's to protect them, but yeah, you don't have to worry about those." I'm like, "Why?" He's like, "Oh, I mean, just leave fast enough, and they'll never be able to enforce any of them."
Yeah.
He goes, "I've never seen them enforced." He goes, "Because everyone who breaks their lease gets out of there so quickly." It's like if I know I'm going to default to my lease, I've moved all my stuff out of here. And then suddenly when payment stops happening, they come to investigate and it's just empty here. And they're like, oh.
I think that okay. It's they don't care until it starts costing them money. So if they can just get somebody else in there, then it's fine. If the economy crashed and you were locked in, they would fight you to death because they wouldn't have to try to find somebody. Like, whoever they found would have to be, you know, would be a lower rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's basically what's cheaper. This is binding legal advice from someone to court.
Your lawyer, yeah. William Osman.
No, but it's cheaper. What's cheaper, bringing someone to court or just finding a new tenant? And it's almost bringing always finding a new tenant. It's
always cheaper.
And you can do both.
Usually,
if you're really spiteful.
Usually you don't, though, because it's like, it's like the lawyer said, he's just like, if you know you're going to break your lease, he's like, you've already liquidated everything you own and declared bankruptcy often. So by the time they show up, they're like, you have no assets in the company. So it's like they're suing a nothing.
Like, well, when we got out of every lease we've had, we've actually broken like a month early. Not broken, but we've like moved out a month early with permission. But the
made
one
it sound
stipulation,
like you're a horrible tenant.
No. I basically like what happens is we learn that we're not going to stay, or the one where they kicked us out, and I was like, well, if you're not going to renew the lease, can we get out a month early?
Mm, yeah.
All they really care about is getting somebody else in there. And so the stipulation has always been okay, but you have to let us show it while you're still in there.
Yeah. I mean, that's even in my lease now, where it's like, if I want to leave, you have to say it within like 6 months. And
yeah, so they can get somebody else in there. So like, if you, as long as you like help them get a new tenant in there, they probably won't care. That's, I think, when they would start getting really vindictive, is if their bottom line is going to, if they're going to make less money, which is lovely. I mean, we like, so we moved out of the storage unit, and this is like a good example. And the storage unit door, when the movers came to move it, was stuck. It was like not welded, but it was like broken. And it took like 2 hours to get a maintenance guy to come and open the security door. And the movers charged by hour.
Well, naturally.
And so the door being broken costs like $150. You know, the movers don't care. And it's like, who gets to pay that? The company who I'm paying rent that the door is broken. And so the service I'm paying to get out of there has to sit there and, you know, lollygag. Or me, right? Like, it doesn't make sense for me to pay it because it's not my equipment that failed. Like, and I've been paying them every month. So it's just like, you know, I mean, that's I guess, tough. Kind of the, yeah. And that's the whole thing is like, if they made, you know, an agreement and their business depends on it, and then you bail on it and they can't get somebody else in.
And
like,
then is it worth your time to try to fight them about it? Because, you know, they're going to drag it on.
Exactly.
Forever.
So like, am I going to fight them for $140? Like, well, I'm kind of stubborn. So maybe. But I would definitely be super pissed if they did one of those like extra month things where it's like, oh, well, you didn't cancel within this time. It'd be like, you know, absolutely not. Plus the fact that this ended up costing us more money, like, just we'll call it even.
What I do think is funny, though, is that as a commercial tenant, you have no rights. So unlike if it's where you live, you have no one's supposed to live here. So you have no rights. And my cousin is a real estate agent who helped us get the place. And she was like, she's seen some stuff that she goes, oh my God, people didn't pay their rent. And then the what's it called? The owners were like, well, we're evicting you. And they got the right. I don't know if they don't even need really the right. Apparently it's in the lease. It, like if you default on 3 months, we can just liquidate your assets. Like your lease is terminated and anything that's still there, since you're not paying for it, is no longer your right to be there. And we determined it as abandoned. So apparently they just came in, removed the doors in the winter, and just started taking everything out of it. So they're like, you don't even have, they just put on like, it just was, it's like the warehouse area where it doesn't need to be heated. So you just have no heat. You have no door. It's just like, they just started pulling all of the items out.
That's all the kids crazy. In the daycare froze to death.
Yeah, they're all
dead. They took the kids. They sold the kids, got whatever value they got.
These are ours now.
That's probably like pushing the limits of legality, but it's like, not the daycare thing. I'm saying like just taking the doors off. But it's not like if you live there, like you can't just freeze a family out.
I mean, there's rules. If you have like a tenant who isn't paying, you have to keep water and power and electricity on, even if you are paying it. So like, you know, my parents, they have a guest house that they rent out. And I remember one time this lady, she stopped paying. Like this happened all within like 3 months. It was insanity. And it like, they don't trust anybody anymore. She stopped paying like immediately. Like she paid like the to get in, and then just that was it. And it took like 3 months. And you can't, like, because it was attached to the home's meter and everything, like, they were paying the water bill and the electrical bill and the gas bill. And there was nothing they could do other than go through the legal process. So it's like, you, even though you're paying for their water, you still have to keep it connected, which it seems kind of crazy, because it's like, it's just someone basically stealing your water at that point. Like, if your neighbor hooked a hose up to your faucet and started, like, they can't do that. But if there's somebody living, even if they, which
it's,
I don't know.
It's,
I mean,
it's kind of like, I mean, to a more extreme extent here, since it gets so cold in the winter, technically it's a crown corporation, our power, so it is government run. But it's like, you're not allowed, I think, in the gas company, you can't cut those services in the winter.
Right.
But the moment it hits a certain temperature outside, they can just remove your power.
Yeah, wait, how come power companies can cut power then?
Because I guess you don't really need power to live.
You could always
supposed to cut it even if a tenant isn't. I don't know enough about this. I feel like you're not supposed to cut power though if you have a tenant, even if they're not paying rent.
I always thought here you could. It's just you couldn't do it when it was below a certain temperature.
Maybe California is very good for renters.
I think California, especially like LA County, it has very, very strong tenant rights. I mean, that's, you know, a good thing generally, I think, if you're looking at sort of like tenants versus landlords.
Yes, unless you're a landlord.
Generally has more power. No, I mean, yeah, it sucks if you're a landlord, but it's like, you know, those are in place because as you have the ability to like really, really mess up someone's life. And I guess it just balances out by making your tenants able to mess up your life in return.
In California, it is illegal for a landlord to remove or force a tenant out of a rental unit by any method other than going through the court procedure. It is illegal to turn the utilities off for non-payment. So you literally have to keep paying the utilities. And the only way to get them out is through the official legal process.
Yeah, although, I mean, even with those, like, laws, it's really easy. Like, that gets abused all the time. Like, it's really easy for landlords to, like, basically just not care. Because, like, as a tenant, especially if you're kind of, like, poor, you don't have money, how are you going to fight that?
Yeah. I was going to say, I guess there's a difference, too, between what I was saying and what you were saying. I just realized that it's, like, it's probably illegal for the landlord to cut the power off on the tenant. But it's like in the case that I was thinking of here, it's if like you're a homeowner and you just stop paying electricity, it's like
that.
So there's not like a tenant landlord coercion problem. It's like you're just not paying your utilities and you're the landowner.
So they'll leave it on until it hits a certain temperature and then all bets are off and then they can
turn they're
it
just
off.
Like, dude, like, come on. Like, what are you doing? But yes, it makes sense that you couldn't, if you're like tenants stop paying, that it's more complicated, because then in theory if the landlord wanted to kick the person out, they could just stop paying for the power.
Okay, and make all right, so terrible. check this out. If you don't pay your bill within 19 days after it was mailed, the utility company will send you a notice that your service will be terminated no less than like 15 days after the notice was mailed, and then you have 19 days to pay. So like essentially it takes like a month. And then they'll turn your power off. I think that evictions typically take more than that. So a power company is allowed to cut your power off more quickly than you could get a tenant out of a property.
Mm-hmm.
So you could literally just not pay your own power bill, and then you could get the power company to shut your power off to cut the tenant's power off.
But then your power would also be cut
but
off.
You couldn't cut the tenant's power off. Is that right? I feel like this might be right.
That's
why are big companies
that
all like the higher you are, the more shit you can do? Like the bigger you are, you can just absolutely like bulldoze people.
Isn't that just
so? I was in that situation like fresh out of college. I was a kid. I didn't have any money. I didn't know what I was doing. And what happened was we called it Dark House. Me and my three roommates, because it was
dark.
Just like because it was just a joke at that point. It was like kind of like our lives were so bad that it kind of was just funny. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we're like, we were into it. like we had parties without power, and we had glow sticks, and you had to take a glow stick into the shower with you because otherwise you couldn't see anything when you were taking a shower.
It sounds like as kids, like people who go through traumatic stuff, and then as adults they realize how bad it was, but as their memory of it as a kid was like an adventure. But you did that as an adult.
Like that. It was fucked up. It shouldn't have happened, and we definitely should have like sort of like seeked legal recourse, but we just didn't know any better. So what happened was we were renting a house that belonged to a woman that died like 3 years previous, and it turned out that like her nephew was collecting our rent on her behalf. And I guess you're not allowed to do that if the person died. Like you can't just collect rent money from property if it wasn't sort of explicitly left to you in their will. I guess you didn't have it. So technically what happened was the house became the estate of California. And so this guy had been collecting rent for years illegally. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he went to jail or whatever. But basically, like, one day, like, a nice woman in a suit came by, and she's like, hey, just so you know, like, we're not going to raise your rent, but, like, this house belongs to the state of California now, and we're going to sell it, but this whole time you're protected. Your rent's not going to increase, but you got to make the checks out to us now. And they eventually sold it to, like, one of those, like, student housing companies that just, like, guts places and raises the rent. And because the tenant laws were so strong, like, they tried to, like, strong arm us out of there, but they couldn't really do anything, except in the original lease, the landlord, the dead landlord, was the one paying for all our utilities, and somehow the ghost landlord was paying the utilities somehow. But then once it changed hands to California and then to the new student housing group, somehow they were like, oh, well, we never saw the original lease. We can't be expected to pay the utilities. That's not in the agreement. And so, I mean, basically what happened was they stopped paying for the utilities. And the worst part was we were willing to pay for utilities, but when we tried to contact LADWP, they said, well, you can't start a new account
until they cancel the old account.
It's still under their account. We were like, why? So we tried calling. Yeah. We were like, how could you not pay for the utilities if it's under your account? We literally can't pay for it right now. And they're like, well, you got to figure it out. And so once the 19 days were up, we did not have power. And
oh,
the funny thing was,
my God, that is brilliant.
I assumed when I came home and the lights didn't turn on, I assumed everything was off. And so I tried to, like, reheat the food that I had in the fridge before it went bad. And so I thought that there was no gas. I didn't even try. I just thought there was no gas. So what I did was I had some fried rice. And I reheated it by just pouring like denatured alcohol, just like ethanol on top of the stove. I lit the whole stove on fire.
Okay.
And then I reheated my fried rice on there and it worked. But then as I was eating it, I was sitting on the couch. I heard the heater kick on. I was like, Whoa. Oh, wait, we had gas the entire time.
Dude.
So we still had hot water. We still had running water. We just didn't have power for like a week and a half while we got that sorted out. And so the whole time we were just making jokes out of it. Like, we had girls over and we had, like, basically we're like, oh, you got to help us drink this Goldschlager. It's going to go bad because our fridge doesn't work anymore.
Oh my God.
When you're 23, you're really resilient. You can deal with all kinds of shit.
You can basically die and you still live. What? That is... You know what? Okay, I think I've given this advice before, but to anybody listening, because I've talked to a lot of people, and I really think that this is something you should do if you rent. You have to do this if you rent. Before you leave, a couple weeks before you leave, like a month or whatever it is before you're leaving, ask for an inspection, a pre-move-out inspection. You need to give them an opportunity to put their hand in their mouth, their fist in their mouth, by telling you what needs to be fixed. They cannot charge you for shit that they didn't bring up during the inspection. So if you've never gotten your security deposit back and you're tired of it, before you move out, ask your landlord for a pre-move out inspection a couple weeks before you move out.
That's smart. That's really
the
smart.
The things they tell you need to be fixed, you fix them. Or don't fix them. Let's say they say there's a couple of holes in the drywall and your security deposit's what, $2,000? What's the security deposit nowadays? I feel like California.
It depends on whatever
standard.
Your rent is, right?
Yeah, something like that.
And then they say, oh, we had to keep your $2,000 because you didn't fix the holes in the wall. Now they're telling you that fixing a couple holes in the drywall costs $2,000. Now it's like you've got dots you can connect to say, that's bullshit. So you can either fix it and get all your money back or not fix it and then fight them when they try to take the whole thing for something that shouldn't have cost that much to repair.
I think I did that when I was moving out of my college apartment. They still charged me. They charged me for the couch. They charged us like $1,200 for the shittiest couch you've ever seen in your entire life. It was like already on its way out. I'm pretty sure it was like a, you know, $200 couch from IKEA.
They found it on the side of the road.
$1,200
for a couch.
What did they say? It was damaged?
That would be a nice couch. Well, so like how these four, like it was one of those shared student housing off campus things where it's like an apartment. And there's four rooms and they rent them all out individually. So it's like you're only renting your room, but there's like, you know, the kitchen and the dining room. That's like the common area type thing. And like me and one guy moved out, and then like later in the summer the next two people moved out, but they like charged all of us for everything that was like damaged in the main
How is this shit legal? How is that okay?
I think it technically isn't, but
you can't fight it.
Some people left food in the pantry and they charged $50 per trash bag that they had to throw out. So it's like, oh,
and you know that, you know, they're paying people like $8 an hour at the time to empty it. Like,
so like, you know, we all had to pay $450 and I'm like, you know, I'm not going to pay this. And they're like, well, if you have to find an apartment, you're screwed. Cause you know, this is going to ding your credit really bad. So you better pay. And I was looking for an apartment at the time. So I'm like, screwed. I had to pay it.
Ugh.
And this is from like an entity that's making like hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars a year if it was like the campus. And they're just squeezing broke ass college students.
I didn't know that garbage men were actually getting paid millions of dollars a year. $50 per trash bag to throw away.
Dude, if you think about it, like they buy the couch, it's a tax write off. Then they're renting the couch and they're making money. And then they charge you for damaging the couch, which probably doesn't count as income, right? It's probably just like, they don't, there's no way they pay tax on that, right? I don't know how that works. But like, if they're charging you for damages, that's not taxable income.
It's like one of those fake couches and like the leather's peeling off of it, and that's like our fault.
And then they buy, so they make money when the couch dies. They save money when they buy the couch. And they're like, that couch is actually profitable beyond just renting it out.
Yeah. Yep.
Just sounds like a good business model
to
me.
It's making me want to be a landlord, honestly.
I think I've realized how bad my business is.
And I apologize to IKEA couches, because this couch was so bad. I don't even know how you could make a couch.
Was it IKEA?
No, I don't think so, because we had an IKEA couch in our house, and it was nice.
Yeah, they're not bad.
I don't know. Who makes terrible couches? I don't even know.
I actually don't really.
It was bad.
Couches.
I'm surprised you could. Whatever. Anyway,
you're surprised someone sold a couch so shitty.
I don't want to give an anti-sponsorship to IKEA because they have not harmed me in any way.
Oh yeah, we love
IKEA. If you want
to
sponsor this, we'll never talk shit about you.
Yeah,
IKEA, if you're listening.
IKEA, if you're listening, we can do a safety third extra where we try to make combat robots out of only things we find in IKEA.
Dude, did I tell you I wanted to build a CNC machine using only parts from IKEA? I'm certain you could do it. Like, you could take, they have
there's good stuff there.
The electronic, right? The chairs or the tables, the standing desks that are electronic.
Yeah, the linear actuators.
So you got linear actuators, and then you could encode them probably. You got like drill motors. You could get like their assembly drills.
They have the automatic blinds.
Yep, you could totally build.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff there. So IKEA, just let us give us money or free IKEA things,
we'll
or let us
crimes.
Run rampant in a store, and we'll do it.
We'll dress up like IKEA
like
employees and run around town punching people.
Safety Third does trends that are 10 years old.
Wait, that's 10 years old. I thought that was a good idea.
Is it? It's pretty old. That's got to be like around the Harlem Shake, right?
God. Well, when people would like try to camp out in IKEA.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty old.
No, I'm talking about like when you go to a science museum and it's like, you know, they let you stay there overnight.
Oh, and not just go to an
legally.
IKEA.
Yeah.
That was hiding in a Walmart in between toilet paper.
Yeah, whoever's listening from IKEA, let us do it.
Yeah. There's this video that I wanted to do with Alex Ernst. He has this gumball machine, and we wanted to fill it up with meatballs and try to pitch it to, like, you know, people like have their little vending machine businesses. Like, when you go to a business and there's vending machines, it's usually not theirs. It's like a third party contractor that, like, you know, gives them a cut or something, and try to like sell, like tell them why they should let us install our meatball vending machine in their lobby.
Were they hot or were they cold meatballs?
It depends on how warm the day is.
Heater coils in the machine.
Tank heater. A drum heater on it.
You can put a drum heater on each meatball. That's a really good idea.
On each one.
You have to ask the person to put, please be kind and take the drum heater off and put it on the next meatball.
Keep it at a nice body temperature. 90 degrees ought to
do it. Exactly. If bacteria can't grow in your body because it's hot enough, that means if it's the same temperature, it can't grow in the meatball vending machine.
Just keep it at the temperature of whatever a cow is. That should be okay. Cows don't rot.
It's got to be a couple hundred degrees Celsius.
Actually, I think turkeys Turkeys are like a couple degrees away from cooking themselves.
Really?
I think I learned that from a Lewis Weiss video, actually. Like live turkeys, like living body temperature is like 100-some degrees. And like when you sous vide something and you can call it cooked, it's like 100 and like teens, I think, or 20s.
110, maybe.
So it's really? Like a turkey is like about 10 degrees away from being cooked at any given time when it's alive. Hey, imagine. We got Audrey Ember. Come on in.
Audrey. Wait, she's showing up for work late. You're late to work, Audrey.
No, I had her getting goo for me. She just bought a bunch of goo.
Is the hand goo?
No, seriously, we've got the orange
goo.
Goo.
We got this goo.
That logo is it's like a meme.
Context cement. So we got that goo. She's been getting goo for me all day. This is her second goo run.
Good job, Audrey.
Why do you need goop? Why are y'all
goop? Yeah, what are you doing with the goop?
Because I'm working with a lot of pipes, a lot of just plumbing parts, and so I've been getting very goopy.
Is that the stuff with like the grit in it?
Yeah, the pumice and stuff. Yeah. Do you want to say anything to the audience?
Audrey, now's your chance. You can say anything you want to literally tens of people.
She's completely silent. She's just staring at
people
me.
Normally pay money for this privilege, Audrey.
She wants nothing to do with it. We're having a long day today because I gotta try and get this thing done by the end of the month ish, which really
so
means
can pay
February 10th. Yeah. Exactly. So that's why I got all the goo.
All right, well, let's thank everybody for listening to this absolute steaming dog shit of a podcast. we're going to record an extra. Is that everyone wants to record extra? Yeah, you got time to record an extra?
I don't think Nigel's on board. I think we ran past
the allotted
the
time
that he's got today. What if it's a really fast extra? Do the extras have to be an hour long?
No, we can do 30 minutes.
I mean, I could do 30 minutes like Saturday.
I'd rather do 30 minutes on Saturday with Nigel.
Okay.
Kevin,
really? Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Why? Because
Kevin wants to be with Nigel.
Kevin says he has a cool idea.
I get it.
Kevin knows
that
nobody's going to watch it unless Nigel.
No, Kevin says he has a cool idea. That's why.
What's the idea? You can't tell us?
No, just like a little game show trivia guessing.
Oh, shit.
You got to guess the picture.
Okay. If it's half an hour, I'll do it now.
Oh, I'm not ready now, but I can.
Oh, Kevin!
Kevin!
Listen, okay, what I've if we been just, busy. Trying to,
let's just do regular 30 minutes now, and then we can do that Saturday.
Yeah, I won't be able to do Saturday, but we can do regular now.
That's our ad for supporting us on Patreon. We'll see you guys over there.